Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and tonight I have back on this program one of my all-time favorite guests, Yvonne Oswald, and her book, Every Word Has Power. Yvonne, how's it going since we talked to you last?
It's going fantastically, Alan. It's really, really good. We're in the third reprint in less than 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And we're in all the North and South America bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's doing fantastically.
Now, why do you think your book took off so well? What are the, I mean, I know it's about the power of the words and the power of intention behind those words, but mm-hmm. why do you think it really took off?
I think because, you know, The Secret was great. It's like have clear intent and think positively. But that's like learning a new language. And in my book, I actually show you how to learn the new language, which is really to change your self-talk because your success starts with your self-talk.
That's right. That was the key mm-hmm. element. It's like we may yeah. have the best language talking to us, but it's the conversation mm-hmm. that goes on in our heads moment
yeah.
to moment that yeah. is really our big obstacle for success,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I know
it's 100%,
that.
100%, yeah.
Yes, yes. So how do we change the self-talk?
Okay, so what you have to do, you have to get a switch buddy, and you get a friend of yours or someone you're living with to change the actual word you use, you know, your keywords.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say something like, oh, that's really hard, you would say switch, and I would say it's really not easy. So you don't mm-hmm. say it's easy because hard is not easy. But not easy is just a little more positive than hard. And what's more, the unconscious mind actually goes off to search for easy and not for hard.
So you don't say it's easy by lying to yourself.
No, there's no point. Because if it's hard, it's not easy. But it's mm-hmm. Not easy is kind of more towards 50% rather than 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes your head into a different place.
All right. But what about, you know, the self-talk where no one's around and where the conversation that's really between us and ourselves. I think
that's
most difficult one that you
that's
deal with.
That's the biggest one. And you
yeah.
know what happened? The way I found this out, Alan, was my daughter and I were playing the Switch game. And after 2 or 3 months, you know, I started thinking in positive words and in high energy words. And then I would suddenly find myself thinking, oh, I'm going to do this. And instead of hearing, oh, my God, that won't work, you know, the usual self-talk that kind of stops you happening, suddenly I would hear, wow, that's a great idea. Yeah, let's do it. And I'd be thinking, who on earth is this in my head? It was quite a weird experience the first few times.
Oh, because you've been dealing with it out loud.
Yes.
Suddenly that voice got deeper into yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I was actually changing the self-talk simply by changing the out loud talk. Yeah, it's fantastic. And you really produced amazing results. Here's the thing, if you imagine all those little negative words and negative thoughts as little black clouds above your head, it's
yeah.
suddenly like the clouds are no longer there. So
because
any thought
you've
that
been practicing,
God,
it's like the practice you do
yes,
with the other.
Yes.
I see.
It's like, you know, I mean, I went to live in Italy when I was 28, and it took me about 6 months to learn fluent Italian. And then after 12 months, I was actually thinking in Italian. And after 2 years, I was dreaming in Italian. And it was just as simple as that, you know, and even 20 years later, I can still talk Italian fluently. And
really?
It's just because, you know, I meet an Italian person, it's not as quick as it was, but boy, I can have a good conversation.
Wow, so it's the same principle, exactly.
It is exactly the same principle. Yeah, we're
so,
just used to thinking low-energy words.
Now, tell us about this new development with your book that's happening. You're going to do a big relaunch?
It's a virtual book tour. So Alex Mandozian in L.A. Is this fantastic entrepreneur, and he's had people like Julie Andrews and Donald Trump and all the secret people on his website, and
uh-huh.
he takes you through a virtual book tour. So you get a free download of the, you know, the contents and the first chapter or the introduction,
uh-huh.
and then he talks people through the book and says what's happening next, what do we learn in this bit, what do we learn in that bit. And really, it's fantastic. It goes out live this Thursday.
Why did he do that instead of you doing it because it's your book? Why don't you do it?
I think because he has, like, the credibility of being this big businessman who is the most amazing entrepreneur, and he's actually proved that, you know, he can actually put positive things forward. And I think it's his passion. He's a Pisces, the same as me. And we have this passion to kind of change the world, you know. So Pisces doing joint ventures is, like, just natural.
So, but, I mean, but getting back to your actual book, well, just tell us, how would we hook into that tour if we wanted to?
Oh, yeah. If you want to go, it's www.everywordhaspowerbooktour.com. And it's got a little clock on it, so it's 2 days to go. It's 5 o'clock Pacific on Thursday. That's 8 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m.
But
Eastern.
You're going to be on the line too, right?
I will be there live, yes, talking to him.
And now, so what else, I mean, just to kind of take your book to the next level, you know, we're bombarded by language all around us, newspaper headlines. You know, how do we re-self-talk to ourselves about what we're hearing in the world? You know what
I mean?
Well,
you know, what I'm hearing is, what I'm hearing is all over that people are starting to use different words automatically anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, unknown to me, there's a lady here in Toronto, Jennifer Huff, and she's already been saying to people, you know, can we change the way adverts are worded?
Well, what can we do with that? Because it works on our fears, adverts.
You know what? It's simply about changing the way people talk and the way people think. You know, so you know, you'll hear, don't do this, don't do that on the adverts. Well, they're telling people to go ahead and do that. You know, and it's an awareness factor, I think. When people are aware of what they're actually saying, you know, if you say don't touch to a child, the child will immediately touch it because it just hears the word touch.
I mean, what you're talking about is really what my program is really trying to do, which is make everyone conscious, more conscious of everything in our lives. That's why we do programs on Tantra and UFOs. And there's so much more around us to be aware of than we've been conditioned. So this is another piece in the awareness puzzle. Really. So,
and it's about choosing which piece of the puzzle you want to be aware of, because you know every second your brain has to translate 2 million pieces of information, puts them into groups of 126, and then it just takes 7 pieces that you're aware of. That's why phone numbers are in groups of 7.
Really? Where'd you hear that? I mean, I've heard that before.
Oh, it's pure NLP. It's really, they've done huge studies on it. And phone numbers are in groups of 7 simply because that's the only amount our heads can hold at one point.
But in Europe, aren't they in different groups?
They're different, but they actually group them so that there's 3 of this and 2 of that, so that they're still broken up into smaller bits.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's deciding to choose a different 7 bits, that's all.
So, I mean, what would the planet look like? What would headlines, what would newspapers and channel, television, news look like if everyone did every word has power? I mean, how would this restructure the world? What's your vision?
Well, it would impact people because, for a start, we'd all stop being kindly to each other, because when we realize that every word we speak impacts everybody else on the planet, and including ourselves, people are going to start being kinder to each other. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands more words in the English language now than there were in Shakespeare's time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, just the little things are so important. My mother said to me, oh, you remember how selfish you were when you were a little kid? I know. Can you believe that? My mother said that.
We all have parents like that, Ellen.
I know, and it's like, well, what are you saying? I'm still like that, you know? And I mean, she wasn't consciously saying it, but that was the message I got. So, you know, so it's not always the message that you're sending is what people are receiving, and that's a big thing. I mean, you might say the most beautiful words to somebody, but it's not what they're hearing.
Yeah. And the meaning of communication is the response you get. So, you know, it may be something in your tonality, it may be something in your body language that you're putting across, even if you're saying something nice. You know, we need to be aware of that whole pattern of.
But how do we tap in? How do we become more conscious of our subconscious intentions?
Basically, by finding out what results you get in your life. Because if your life isn't working, then you're not actually thinking in the right direction.
But what is? How do you know when your life isn't working?
Well, there's only 5 things you can change, right? Relationships, health, career, money, and home. If any one of those 5 isn't working, there's something you're not thinking correctly.
Wait, let me get those again. What was they?
Right, relationships.
Relationships, maybe.
Health.
Okay.
Health.
Yeah.
Home.
Home. Okay.
Career.
Yeah.
Money.
Could
do more money, right?
Well.
So, you know, and Well, this is about improving each one of those sectors. So what I'm doing is right now a workbook to go with the book, Every Word Has Power. And I've been thinking through simple exercises that people could do every day. And one of them would be choose one of those five areas, and what could you do that would improve it just slightly?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, in your home, could you just paint one wall, or could you rearrange furniture? You know, in a relationship, could you write a little love note again, or, you know, could you chart yourself up, you know, get your hair done differently, or dress your appearance up so that you've got an attractive relationship coming in.
Uh-huh. I mean, how do you, are people ever completely happy and joy and bliss? I mean, have you met anyone like
no,
that?
No, I don't honestly think they are. I think because life is a journey, it's not, and happiness and joy are not a destination. It's a fleeting thing that goes through.
Uh-huh.
If you're feeling happy, if you're feeling joyful, here's the thing, it's how quickly you can revert back to that joy and happiness. It's not what happens, it's how quickly you can bounce back.
I mean, what about someone like Eckhart Tolle? Isn't he pretty much in joy and bliss, you know?
I don't know. I've read his books, and I don't find them easy to work with, honestly. The language isn't that great, so...
Well, I don't know. I find him pretty amazing, actually, as a human being.
Yeah, I like him as a human being. I find it not easy to understand his concept.
So who do you like? Who's like one... Who was big? One of your big influences? Because you just didn't come upon this on your own. What inspired you?
That's an interesting thought.
Well, you must, you know, you must.
Yeah,
have
thank you. Probably Louise Hay. Louise Hay was a big one.
Yeah.
Marianne Williamson. The people who are talking about towards things. You know, most of my real powerful thoughts have come from the NLP courses I've taken, actually.
Yeah, give us a little background about NLP, because the next guest will also be talking about that as
well.
So give us a little background.
So NLP, basically, people think it's all manipulative stuff. It's actually not. What it is, in the 80s, they did a lot of research on what makes success and how we can reproduce success.
Just to explain to people, NLP means
neuro-linguistic programming.
Right.
Yeah.
Just so
the way to change your brain and the way human behavior works so that you can reproduce the same successes every time. So what they would do is take someone who would typically be successful at something like Milton Erickson, or who was a hypnotherapist, or a lot of the Virginia Satir, who was a family therapist for 6 years, and they would say, "What are you doing that's producing these consistent successes, and can we reproduce it?"
And what was it that was producing consistent success?
Basically, it was that they had a system that would always lead to the same place.
And what was that? What was that?
Different with every person.
Give us an example of something that
worked.
So
Milton Erickson, yeah. For instance, is a brilliant therapist because he matched and mirrored his clients. He basically was almost in their same headspace. He would get rapport going with them, and he would say that your clients are your clients because they're out of rapport with their unconscious mind.
I think that's really important.
It's really important. Your clients are your clients.
He would say this to a therapist. Your clients
to anybody.
Okay,
you know what? If something's not working, you are out of rapport with your unconscious mind.
Wow.
You're not acting with yourself as though you're a team.
Yourself as though you're a team. That's pretty amazing, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. So when you're doing therapy with someone, or when you're working with someone as a client, you're basically acting as their unconscious mind and helping them work through things so that they can get in rapport with their unconscious mind.
Wow.
It's fabulous stuff. It's really, really
And how do you
stuff.
Get in rapport with your own conscious mind?
With your unconscious mind. You actually start having a conversation with it so that it's always supporting you. So when you say when you think something like, "Oh, it's a horrible day," you're not in rapport with your unconscious mind because your unconscious mind believes it's a great day.
Oh.
It's coming from a place of perfect happiness and health. And it wants you to go there. So if you're thinking different thoughts, then you're not going in that direction.
Wait, so it's always a great day to your and you're saying it's an awful day?
Yeah.
And
you're out of rapport. That's not the truth.
And you could say, "Hey, it really is a great day."
Or it's not such a great day today. You know, I mean, that doesn't say it's a horrible day. It just says not such a great day today. I'm not having such a great experience today. Right,
uh-huh.
And it still makes your unconscious mind feel good. It doesn't put it into panic mode, and it doesn't start it into protection mode. So if you use a word like hate, it's going to immediately go into survival mode, because its job is to keep you alive, right? So
right.
If you're always thinking high energy words, it's very easygoing. It's going to go along with you. It's going to give you ideas. It's going to basically, you know, give you a fabulous life. If you have low energy thoughts, you're always giving it signals that there's something not right. There's something not right.
Right.
So it's immediately, and it will produce low energy emotions to go along with those low energy words, just to say, you know what, this is what I'm picking up from you. Is this true?
But you know, that is such an important point too, for people to know there are actually low energy words. Words, if you use it, it will actually, they will make you feel tired and sluggish.
They'll lower your immune system.
It's an amazing technology. So what are some really high energy words? What are some
energy words? Exciting, optimistic, exuberant, great, fantastic, joyful, lovely, amazing.
As opposed to using the opposite of those words.
Yeah, which are like, and like problem, bad.
You don't even want to say those things.
Yeah, but even, you know what, even if you say no problem, your unconscious mind is still going ahead and looking for problems.
Because you're saying the
because
thing. That's
the word is—it's just like a search engine. It's like a quantum search engine.
So it doesn't matter that we use no.
Mm-hmm.
It's the problem that the subconscious mind hears.
Correct.
So this is—but this is what's so fascinating, I think, about NLP, neurolinguistic, is this dialogue between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind.
Exactly.
It's actually like this two-way thing going on where your subconscious mind is saying, feed me or something, talk to me. The conscious mind says, I'll talk to you this way. And then there's like maybe the overmind or superconscious mind that says, let's only talk positive.
Because it's programmed, first of all, to keep you healthy and alive. And secondly, it's programmed always to search for more towards wholeness.
Which part?
The unconscious, the subconscious. And it's programmed totally to take you towards wholeness at all points. And
so,
it will keep on attempting to get you back to revert to optimism.
Right. So how does the conscious mind get so out of whack with that agenda of our deeper self?
It's those first 7 years and the 150,000 negative commands we hear from our parents.
whose subconscious minds have been programmed, and
it's just like passing on a program.
There was this roommate I had who used to call herself the girl with the magical feeling or the wonderful feeling. You know, she was born with that thing, but so we're born with this amazing joyful capacity, right? That's
correct.
Our natural state.
We're born into joy. We feel great when we're born.
Yeah,
you know, if we don't feel great when we're born, it's because we're picking up on our parents' fears usually.
Well, or karmic past, but anyway, yes, our natural state, I agree, is joy. And so, isn't there like a natural resistance to the negativity that's coming into us?
There is, and that's why we tend to revert back to optimism. And high energy words have a dominance over low energy words. So you can use two low energy words in a sentence with one high energy word, and you have no equity. You're just
what
in
do
the
you
same
mean?
Place. Basically, like statistically, you can say, "Oh, today sucks. It's a horrible day. Tomorrow's going to be a great day." Mm-hmm. And what will happen is, great will overpower the other two negative words, and you will actually you'll just feel okay. You won't feel great. However, say you know today's not a great day. I'm not feeling wonderful today, but I'm hoping tomorrow will be fabulous. You've got three high-energy words, and you're immediately going to feel better.
Wow.
So
do you work with...
Using a different part of your brain, too, using the prefrontal cortex instead of the middle brain, the limbic brain.
When do you use the prefrontal cortex? What do you mean?
You use the high-energy brain, the prefrontal cortex, the new cortex, neocortex, when you're using high-energy words. You immediately revert to optimism when you use those words. You're using the limbic brain or the middle brain, which is like 200,000 years old, when you're using the low energy words.
So do you work with people with depression?
Yes, big time. And depression is usually repressed anger. We usually go for anger first. Remember in the book on page 103, every word has power. Page 103 is how to release that negative emotion in less than a minute.
Do you work one-on-one with people then?
Yeah, I do breakthrough sessions. I do keynote speaking. I do trainings. I do corporate trainings on power speaking, magic of the mind, selling and loving it. I love that one. I love selling. It's fabulous stuff. and confidence.
And how do people get in touch with you?
Right, it's globalwelcome.com. GLOBALwelcome.com.
Global Welcome.
Yes, it's a lovely site.
And you're based in?
I'm in Toronto.
You're in Toronto. How's it going?
But it's really good. We've just had a little bit of snow, so it's kind of nice. It's actually quite mild.
What were you going to say though? You do what?
I've been in LA a lot and Seattle a lot. I've done, I think, about 10 cities this year already.
Are you coming to New York at all?
I'm hoping to come to New York in about April or May. Yes.
Okay. Well, definitely let me know.
Okay. I will. I'm excited about that.
Okay.
I'm
so just give us
connections from there.
Yes. Just give us a little recap and also how to find your book.
Okay. The book, Every Word Has Power, is in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the virtual book tour is this Thursday at everywordhaspowerbooktour.com, and you can go and listen in live on Thursday evening and hear all about the book.
Wow. That'll be really great for people.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So you're going to take people through. Now, do you have another book planned for yourself?
I've been asked to put in a book proposal, but the first thing I want to do is actually make a workbook around the book.
Around this book, everywhere.
You know, yeah, it's a real simple book. There's lots and lots of quick tips. But on a daily basis, I've got some fabulous ideas on how to do really, really simple tasks really simply. Because it's the starting that people don't find easy. It's, you know, once they're into it, it's easy. And people will say, you know, I'm going to do 20 emails today. Well, they'll immediately go and get a cup of coffee.
Now, why is that? How can we do that to ourselves?
Yeah, because it's immediate. We put up a huge wall of, oh, my gosh, too much. You immediately go and overwhelm.
Because I do that all the time. I have so many projects I need to do, and I don't do it.
No, you know what you do, Alan? You have to say, I'm going to go and answer one email right now. That's it. And you're never going to answer one email. You're always going to do more.
Wait, so if I say I need to write this book or finish this book, then
what do I... Oh, my gosh, no, don't even go there. You're going to...
What do I do?
You write the 10 chapter headings, you'd like to write, 10 things. Then you write 4 things you'd like to write in each chapter, just one sentence on each.
Okay.
And then you fill in the blanks. Then you fill in the blanks.
Just fill in the blanks. You kind of...
Yeah, and you do the chapter you're enjoying the most first. Don't do it consecutively.
Go where your joy goes.
Correct. If you can do 2 or 3 chapters that are really, really fun to do first and not in any order, and then what you do is the other ones will fill themselves in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And here's a real quick key if you've got a pen.
Yeah.
You're going to write down why we're reading this chapter, what it's about, how we're going to do it, and
what do you mean how we're going to do it?
The practical applications. How do we go about doing this? Or
how we go about doing what's in the chapter?
Yes.
I see.
So why we're doing it? What it's about? How we're going to apply it? And then what if? Or any questions? And then on to the next chapter. That's the simplest way to do a chapter of all. It'll make total sense to you if you do it that way.
Wait, let me just check. Okay. How? Why?
No. Why? First of all, what? How? And what if?
And what if?
So why we're in this chapter is, what it's all about is, how we're going to do it is, and what if it doesn't work, or what if we need to explore further? So let's go on to the next chapter.
Well, thank you, Yvonne, for all
this.
It's
so easy. If you need help, give me a call afterwards. I'll help you.
Okay, so you're going to put out the workbook. We can look forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
And we can look forward to your virtual tour. That's going to be
One Spirit magazine, you know, in New York, Judith Pitkinney, has had my book in her magazine now for about 6 months, and it's been consistently in the top 3. She's done a great job. She loves my book as well. So.
And
I'm getting a lot of good feedback.
You've sold 15,000, you said, so far?
Yeah, it's about 15,000. We're in our third reprint already. It's brilliant.
And you can get it on Amazon, too.
Amazon, yeah, Barnes & Noble, yeah. Apparently 5,000 is a bestseller in Canada.
Oh, really? Well, there are only 5,000 people in Canada, right?
I think it's about something like that, yeah.
There's not many people there.
It's about 3 million all in, I think, yeah.
3 million in the whole country?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
it's 3 million down the street from me in New York.
I know, it's amazing. We have people say to me, it's 3 million around Toronto, I think.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But people say to me, you know, you come from Manchester, England. Are there many people who live there? And it's like, yeah, 12 million in 50 square miles, you know.
In Manchester, there's 12 million?
Yeah, it's huge. It's about 18 million in London or something. You know, here we're kind of, it's like living in the countryside.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you must like it better, huh?
Yeah, I like it. I love it.
So definitely, I'm really happy you contacted me. And
I'm really proud of all the fabulous work you're doing. It's amazing.
Thanks. This will be archived on BBS Radio along with the other program we did. And probably also on my website, newrealities.com, so you can just link to any one of that.
Fabulous.
You know?
Well,
thanks so much. And keep
thank
in touch.
You.
Yeah. Good luck with the rest of the with the tour. And
fabulous.
The
thank
tour.
You. And I'll, like I said, I'll let you know when I'm in New York. Probably see you next year. Looking forward to meeting you.
Yes. We'll meet face-to-face now that we've
exactly.
Met. Audioly, but you live in a verbal world anyway.
Yes, I know.
Well, thanks again. Okay.
Thank you, Alan. Bye.
Okay, thanks. See you.
All right, bye.
Bye. My next guest coming up is a woman named Lori Craig, who is also a neurolinguistic programmer, and actually she's been on my television show with her whole set of neurolinguistic programming. She's writing a new book. Are we getting Lori on the phone, Seth? Oh, well, she'll be on the phone soon. But she did a program with me, and you can see that on YouTube, where she would do hypnotherapy on people and tell them how to increase the size of their breasts and penis. And she'd do like, is that you, Lori? Hello? Oh. Yvonne?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I'm
it
just
was
waiting
me
for the
going,
next guest.
Oh, okay.
No, you can listen. No, because
okay.
she would
do
this.
Still on air or not.
Oh, no, we are still on, but she would do this with neurolinguistic programming, and their bodies would really change.
I can totally believe it.
Yeah, she says, like, neurolinguistic programming can change the soft tissue really easy.
Yeah, it does.
You know about that. So she developed the whole program.
You change your thoughts, you change everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to get Lori on the phone right now. And, oh, Lori?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was just introducing you. But
Okay, I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
No. I just already did. And I think, you haven't finished your new book, but it's, has to do with, I know it has to do with sex and food, but it's how to choose your mate by looking at your plate? Is that what you're calling it?
Well, that's close. It's actually a humorous book, and it takes a look at everybody's actions and reactions regarding dieting, dating, and sex, because they're all the same. And the thing is, the way that you eat is the way that you have sex. The way that you eat.
You mean
is
if
the way that you have sex?
I like to eat with chopsticks. What does that mean?
Ooh, I don't know if I could get in bed with you then.
No, but, well, it's better than a fork and knife. I mean, if you couldn't get in bed.
Okay.
The thing is,
if you watch your date eat, you can predetermine what's going to go on in the bedroom later.
Now, describe that a little more.
Okay. We all have a personality style. And, like I said, the way you do anything is the way you do everything.
That's true, I've heard that.
Yeah, exactly. But you've got to determine which style are you. And that,
okay.
we always think we're the style we want to be, not really the style that we are. So I tell everybody, ask your friends and everything. But I can get into the styles in a little bit because that's the most fun to figure out, you know, who am I, what am I?
Uh-huh.
And then we take a look in the book at how you act on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty amusing. And then when you're out to eat, how you act, and then you can learn how the other styles act. So you can be like, okay, I'm doing this, you know, I may be eating properly, neatly, you know, everything's in its place, and my date may be eating like full force ahead, eat everything really fast, just gobble, gobble, gobble.
Uh-oh,
so I
that's
know if
not
he's doing
a good
really
sign.
Fast, that's a sign he's very successful and that he's really fast in bed.
Really? So when you're on a date, slow down, you're saying? Don't finish before the woman, I guess, is what you're telling the man.
Well, that's a great start right there. But
right.
The thing is, you know, the book takes a look at, you know, what style are you, and then when you're in the bedroom, how can you best relate to each style individually?
So
the styles I have labeled as colors.
Yeah, so tell us the different styles. Yes.
Okay. There's actually yellow is the reliable thinker. And the thinker can be overwhelmed a lot, busy, 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 too much to do. But I tell you, if you want a job done right, the thinker does it correctly. The thinker always wants to look appropriate, proper, and, you know, everybody, she would never embarrass anybody.
Is this going for both men and women? Is that men and women?
Men and women, exactly the same.
So how are those thinkers in bed?
Now, the thinkers in bed, just like I described, you know, if they eat, they'll be very proper, everything in its place. And the thing, when you're in bed with a thinker, they will have the music on, the candles on, everything just right, everything set up.
Mm-hmm.
And even the right underwear on. You know, everything is pre-thought out.
Okay.
And then in bed, technique is their specialty. They're really good at everything that they do.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to be very good at whether they're doing oral sex or kissing or what have you. They're very good at it. But the thing, they don't have a lot of variety.
They don't have a lot of variety. They're like one trick.
Exactly. They're really good at it. But
uh-huh.
It's like they have a set way of doing things. They like to be in control, so they keep it all the same.
Uh-huh. I don't think I'm a thinker.
You're about as opposite from a thinker as there is, Alan.
Well, we haven't been in bed yet, so who knows?
Oh, okay. But, I've seen you eat before. I know
you have. Right. You see me eat. I'm going to have to really be conscious of how I eat.
No. You know, there's pros and cons to every style, every personality style. There's good things and bad things.
All right, let's go through the other styles, yeah.
Okay, all right. There's the blue. The blue is the determined doer. And that's the one I was talking about. They're eating with intention. They're eating quickly. They're leaning forward at the table. But they want it done quickly, efficiently. And a lot of times they'll eat for a purpose, and it's not that I'm hungry. It would be, I've got to go on a business dinner. I've got to take my date out to eat before I can get her in the bedroom.
Uh-huh.
You know, things like that. Doers are usually very successful because they go, get the job done. And they don't like to hang out and waste time. It's like there's too much to do, and they like to just get it done. Like I said, they're very successful. But the thing is, you can get this extremely successful man or woman in your bedroom. You've heard the expression, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am?
I've not only heard that, I think I may have used it. No, I'm kidding.
But that's them. You
okay.
know, so be happy with going shopping with them and maybe not in the bedroom.
Okay, very efficient, very goal-oriented.
Exactly. That's their big thing, to reach their goal. And
okay.
So you can imagine, they've got to remember that their partner needs to reach orgasm, too. So that's
okay.
a suggestion for the blues.
Okay, good.
Next one is purple. Purples are the very friendly ones. They please everybody. They put everybody before themselves. You know, you see these people, they help everyone.
Right.
And then they're
You're a bit
brain.
Like that, yeah. Lori, aren't you?
I hate to admit, I'm actually the yellow thinker.
You are?
I am the thinker. Yeah. Well, the thing, as you go through the personality types, you can be all of them, and you are all of them at one point or another, but when you're under stress, whether that's mental stress, physical stress, or the sexual tension in bed, you lean towards your type.
I see. So you're
and
yellow.
And not all the time.
I didn't know
I'm
that.
Yellow.
Okay.
And, you know, and my job is to help people. But I tell you, I do it very analytically, and I figure it out before I get started.
Wait, just before we go on, is it good to have the same colors together in a relationship?
The funny thing is, you would get along with them pretty much, but you don't really have a chance to grow. And I always think that if people would, you know, it just gets kind of boring. You do the same things. You think exactly alike. If you want to explore new pieces of yourself, I suggest going with a different color.
I see.
And in the book, we have it, you know, it's like, how is a yellow in bed with the blue? How is a yellow in bed with the green? And, you know, how is a green on a date with a purple?
I see. So let's keep going through it, and then we'll go into combination. So the purple, you were saying, is likes to please everybody.
The pleaser, the friendly one, they're the best host of a party. They're just, they want to please you above pleasing themselves. They're usually real soft-spoken. They think they're not quite good enough. I didn't get into what the other colors, you know, their negative thoughts.
Right.
But the thing is, whatever you want, if you're at dinner, they'd be like, okay, do you need this? Can I get you this? You know, they're there to make you happy.
Right.
The thing is, but they're not so happy all the time. They're not looking out for themselves.
Right, and so how are they in bed? The same way they're pleasing other people before they please themselves.
Exactly. And I'm sure everybody can think you've been in bed with, you know, oh, I want to make you happy. Don't worry about me. I know I want to get you happy. You know, do you need more? Do you need this and that? And then later you're like, well, what happened to you? You didn't have any fun yet. And they're like, oh, it's okay. That's okay. Don't worry.
I see.
So, you know, they're great to be around because they please. But some people think they don't have enough aggression, you know, backbone, because it's just, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
But like I said, whatever you want, they will do it. So that's the good one. That's the good one, you know, as far as if you want to have a party and things like that.
Right.
But I think you would want to be, you would be interested in the next one for sure.
Okay.
It's green. And it's Alan.
That's me?
This is you. Expressive.
Well, we'll see.
Expressive.
Okay.
Now, you guys are the funnest.
Because
an expressive, you cannot predict what they're going to do. You'll do something one way today, and the exact same thing, you'll do it differently tomorrow.
That's true.
Yeah. You were the life of the party. And the thing, it's so funny, people don't always get this. The funnest people, the life of the party, that's the one that doesn't really care what the other people think.
That's true.
I mean, you care to an extent. But you're like, you know what, if you don't like the latest fashion, you're not going to wear it. And
That's the funny thing,
you can be out to eat, and it may be the Chinese restaurant, and you're going to order some fried chicken at the Chinese restaurant. It's please yourself. You look out for yourself.
You want to feel good. That's right. And in bed, it's the same. Not that it's please myself, but it's like let's not do anything the same way. Twice.
Exactly. You guys have a lot of variety. You would be the one screaming loudly, having sex, or swinging from the chandelier. That's definitely.
I like to swing from the chandelier when I'm having sex.
I can picture it.
You can? Me swinging from the chandelier having sex? You can picture that?
I can picture you swinging up there with no clothes on.
Okay. I'll try it, if you say so. But
the thing is, in bed, you guys, you want to be taken care of. You want to be loved. And, you know, love, sex kind of gets intermingled in there.
So the blues and the greens would be good together, right?
Pretty much. And it's funny. Every color can match another color. That's what the whole book is about. But the thing, there's a few problems, though. The expressive greens take their time. Expressive greens can be in bed for half a day having a great time. Where the doer's like, come on, there's other things to do. Come on, the blue doer. Come on. We've already had the orgasm. Let's get out of bed. Where the expressive green is going, well, we've had one orgasm. We need like five more.
Well, that's good.
The expressive needs to make sure that they please their partner in bed as much as they're getting pleased. They're the total opposite of the pleaser.
You have to be conscious of the type you are. And also see where, you know, you go unconscious in that way, where you're not aware of the other types. You have to be aware of all types, you know.
Exactly, and that's what the book is about. I actually have little charts throughout the book. And like I said, it's all comical. And they have each color with, you know, your probable job, the way that you eat, the way you act in aerobics class, things like that. So that helps you define yourself even more.
There
are four types. There's yellow, that's the thinker. Blue is the doer. Purple is the friendly pleaser. And green is the expressive.
Don't you have a red where it's like all out, like, you know, raunchy? No, all out.
No, that's going? You. You're all out raunchy. The expressive is all out raunchy.
Oh, okay. Sensual, I mean. You know, but I guess, so, okay. But you
colors,
know, this, colors what?
The colors were actually chosen. So, you know, I didn't want to have red because everyone would go straight to, oh, yeah, they're the wham, bam, you know, raunchy, like you said.
Right.
And, you know, like pink would be like, oh, my goodness, so delicate and soft. So, you know, we went with fairly neutral colors.
Oh, I get it. I get it. So this does go back to this anthropological theory I was telling you by Levi Strauss, who wrote a book called The Raw and the Cooked and talked about the eating habits of different cultures and the sexual practices and how they matched each other, you know?
Yes.
And it's also, I also noticed that people who eat more exotic foods have more exotic partners. Did you ever notice that?
They have more exotic partners, and they are usually expressive.
Oh.
Usually.
I get it.
The purple friendly pleaser is not going to try exotic foods. They're going to stick to what they know, you know, what they're
exactly.
comfortable with. And
same thing with their partners. They'll probably stay within their same class economic structure, you know, some of those people, right? Because they don't like to explore what's different.
That's the funny thing, and like I said, it's the way you eat is the way you have sex. It's also the way you play tennis or the way you mop your floor. It's all similar. But like I said, you would think, you know, everybody thinks they're the expressive, fun, and crazy type, fly by the seat of their pants, or the friendly pleaser. That's what most people think.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, you got to watch, like, when you get upset or you get worried or how you like it in the bedroom. That's your true color.
Wow. How did you come across this? Were you noticing yourself? Were you watching other people? I mean, you created...
With my hypnotherapy practice, you know, the major things I work on are weight loss. So it's always, you know, how people diet, how they eat, and their personalities dealing with losing weight. And then the other half of my practice is sexual dysfunction and, you know, things dealing with sex. So I just kept, you know, after years of this, I would hear similarities, you know, it was just interesting to look at and notice these things. And then I know you know Joanna Warren.
Yes.
I play tennis with Joanna Warren, and she uses these personality styles to help you play sports and help you recognize your tendencies. It's just all your tendencies. Like I said, it's the way you play tennis is the way you have sex.
Well, I think the way you do anything is the way you do everything. That makes the most sense.
Exactly. And actually, I did finish the book. I do have it downloadable right now. And
well, tell people how to. Do you want to tell people how to find that on your website?
Yeah. It's on my weight loss website. It's called Thimage. Thimage, like the image. So it's Thimage.com. It's only $12. It's downloadable. You go to that front page, and, you know, it's a couple of places on the front page. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm. And so they can download, but is it going to come out actually in a hardcover book?
Yes, it will come out in hardcover.
I'm going to see if I can get you a publisher. I mean, let's talk.
Oh, fabulous. We've got a couple of agents looking at us right now. But like I said, we just finished it, so I'll take anybody you know, Alan. And you know
Who'd you write the book with?
I wrote the book myself, and I had help from Joanna Warren because she does all of these personality styles with her tennis coaching and her athletic coaching. And then I have a cartoonist, Lemore Gutman, and she did all the cartoons in there and the charts and everything.
And the name of the book again is what?
The Way You Look at Your Plate is the Way You Mate.
Oh, I see. The way you look at your body is the way you think. So, if we're not happy with part, because you talk about dysfunction, sexual dysfunction, now, is there, people get stuck in something? I mean, there must be a way to change within this structure that, you know, makes life, sex, food more enjoyable if you're not enjoying it, right?
Exactly. And that's the thing. Once you realize how you do everything, you can take a look. Like, I know I'm the yellow, And I, you know, when I eat, I'm worried about, is there food on my face or did food fall on my shirt? Do I look, you know, proper and appropriate?
That's the last thing I worry about myself.
Exactly, because you're the opposite type.
Right.
And the thing is, I need to think like, you know what? Who cares? I can have food on my nose. Who cares? So it's just for me to start to lean towards your type.
Right. I think we should have a date there, Lori.
That way I could teach you things and you could teach me things.
Yes, you can teach me when there's food on my face and I'll teach you when and it's okay.
Exactly.
But so with awareness, you're saying there's transformation that happens.
It will turn your life around to realize the way that you are being. Because most of us don't see ourselves.
Right.
And, you know, when I tell somebody, once again, a thinker, like, oh, goodness, you're a control freak, everybody fights me. No, 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 until you point out, oh, look at you doing this, look at you doing that.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, like the blue doer, it's like you're rushing through everything. What's going on? And you point it out, like, I didn't even finish drinking my coffee, and you're getting up from the table.
Wow.
You know, if you start to point these things out. It's, you know, of course, I'd rather find out myself than have my mate point it out.
Mm.
Because, you know, when you're pointing it out to your date, your mate, to whoever, you need to watch that you're saying it, you know, in a nice enough way where they will take it instead of being so defensive about it.
Mm. No, absolutely, absolutely. No, I'm just wondering that people really don't understand or know or notice the types they are because they're so it. That they just think that's how it has to be, you know?
What do they say? You can't see the forest for the trees. You can't look at yourself. And that's what I tell everybody. Have a friend do this with you. It's a little short, funny book. You know, go through it with somebody you know.
Right, right, right. You can't tell if you're red in the rainbow because you're red in the rainbow.
Exactly. It's exactly that. But like I said, you will figure it out with this book. We've got, you know, the charts, the boxes. We've even got the pictures in there of what you look like in the bedroom.
You're really surprised sometimes eating. I mean, do you just kind of fantasize anytime you go out to dinner with someone, like, oh, this is what this person's like?
Sometimes I do take note of it, and sometimes because I am the thinker, I make it a point to not be thinking and just to, you know, have a good, fun time and not worry and not, you know, prejudge somebody.
Right.
So, actually, more often I don't take note of that on purpose.
Mm. It's everything. It's how they dress. I mean, you can see it on all levels of the personality, right?
Exactly. That's the whole gist of the book.
Uh-huh.
The way you do anything is the way you do everything.
Right, so this, I mean, not just tennis, but what kind of shoes they wear, what they pay attention to, like...
Exactly.
How they comb their hair or not. So
yeah.
It's kind of like fractal, holistic analysis of the personality, in a way.
It definitely is, and like I said, once you figure yourself out, you can be like, okay, I want to be a little more like this or a little less like that. And when you figure out your bedmate, you can make such a difference in sex because you would understand, okay, this one likes to please me. Okay, mm-hmm. And this one's really sweet. You know, they get excited by getting me excited.
Right.
So,
which,
you know,
type is that?
The purple, the friendly pleaser. They get excited by getting their partner excited,
uh-huh.
More so than getting themselves excited.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
But like you said, we have a little bit of all of this in all of us, but we have a predominant type.
Exactly.
That's more yeah. us. Well, I think this is going to be really successful.
I hope so. I'm very proud of it, and there's been a lot of research done, and it's just... It's quite funny to take a look at yourself and everybody else.
Yeah, so watch it when you go out to dinner with someone on a date. What kind of stuff should I look for? Like how quick they finish their meal or how they clean their plate or what would someone look?
I can get a little more specific with the eating.
Okay, go ahead. And,
I'm the yellow, the thinker. So I will eat, like I said, I will have small bites. I will be wiping my mouth, making sure there's no food on my mouth. My plate will look pretty neat. It won't be food all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And I will do everything properly. I was actually out to eat with the yellow just a couple of days ago, and she got spring rolls, and we were at a very fancy restaurant. And she asked the waiter, how am I supposed to eat these?
Uh-huh.
And she didn't know if it was proper to eat it with her fingers.
Uh-huh.
And so she has to do it properly. That's the yellow. Now, if you're the blue is the doer. He or she will be at that table just pretty much focused on the plate because
uh-huh.
they have one specific goal. And now, if that's their goal to eat, and they will be leaning forward, their chin is actually protruding. They're always leaning forward a little bit because they're go, 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 go. Do, do, do,
and
do,
that
do.
Would be the one that's focused on orgasm, 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 right?
For himself or herself.
I
see. Because it's get the job done. But you know what? If they think, well, my job tonight is to have my partner have three orgasms, well,
uh-huh.
then that partner will have three orgasms because they get the job done.
I
That's
see.
Just,
I see.
You know, they get everything accomplished fairly quickly, not always perfectly.
Right.
But they get the job done. And like I said, you can see they eat with gusto. It's like, you know, they have a little stronger, tough moves.
Okay, we have about one more minute. Just go over the last two at the dinner.
The purple, the friendly one, it just kind of leans back, does everything quietly, slowly. And then the expressive, your type, you eat with flair. You will have that fork in your hand as you're talking. You might even have food on the fork as you're talking. And, you know, you will be
and then
communicating.
The sex would be just like that.
Yes,
just all
exactly.
over the place, right?
Exactly, yes, yes.
Well, this really sounds like a lot of fun. We'll do a television interview about this.
Fabulous.
Tell people your website again so people can find the book. And you.
It's themage.com, like the image.
Themage.com.
And the book is only $12.
And you are also a great hypnotherapist for smoking and weight reduction and all that.
Yes.
Do you have a different website for that?
No, it's all on Themage.
Image.
And you can get in touch with me, you know, anyway. I do all kinds of hypnosis, like you said, the regular plus sexual dysfunction. Eating, I have a very successful, Themage is a very successful weight loss program, too.
Well, thank you so much, Lori. Let's talk again.
Okay, thank you. You're always fun.
Yes, yes,
talk
and I hope
later.
To see you soon somewhere. So we'll talk.
You will.
Okay. This is
okay. Talk to you later then.
This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. I was talking to Yvonne Oswald and Lori Craig on this program. You can catch me at newrealities.com. Email me at newrealities@earthling.net. Thank you for listening. Listen, next week I'll be interviewing Jim Mars about conspiracy theory. Thank you.